Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You're listening to DraftKings Network.
You're tuned in to the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, guiding your gridiron journey, none other than your host, former NFL lineman, Ross Tucker.
Oh, yeah, it is. But it's not just any Ross Tucker Football Podcast. It is a teaching tutorial Thursday, which means class is in session with the venerable NFL Films professor, Greg Cosell. I know how many of you love these episodes. So do I. Look forward to it every single week. I will say this. We're taking a brief pause in talking about the draft prospects. We did 2 weeks of quarterbacks. We did wide receivers last week. We're actually going to do running backs and tight ends next week combined, because it's not really thought to be a great class of either. So they didn't deserve their own week. We'll put them together. But there's too much that's happened over the last week with actual NFL players, not just prospects, for me to not to talk to Greg Cosell about it. You guys know the deal, right? You can be a winner every week if you spread the word via social media, at Ross Tucker NFL, at Ross Tucker Pod, or you rate and review the show. Take advantage of any of our glorious sponsors, Labatt, DiGiorno, WestshoreHome.com/Ross, MyFrontPageStory.com, and then love those of you that make a comment on YouTube, YouTube.com/RossTuckerNFL, because then I'll do a little cameo-style video for you. All you have to do is comment and subscribe to any of the awesome videos we have. We have the highlight clips of each show and the full episode of each show. Again, YouTube.com/RossTuckerNFL. Very excited to talk to Greg about some of these moves that have been made over the last 7 to 10 days. It's big show time.
The big show.
All right, Greg. I don't know if we've done this other years. I think we have. I probably asked you about some of the big moves while we're talking about some of the college prospects. But there's enough that went down that I really wanted to get your thoughts on the moves and how you see them in different offenses. And we'll start with the quarterbacks, of course. And let's start with Kirk Cousins. He's going to Atlanta, yeah. Greg. He'll be working with Zach Robinson, who comes over from the McVay tree, which I think is interesting because obviously when Cousins was in Washington, McVay was there. So he's got some familiarity there. Obviously, Kevin O'Connell came from the Rams as well. So he's not going to have a huge transition, Greg, when it comes to the offense. That's for sure.
No. In fact, it'll be the same offense and the same terminology. So for Kirk Cousins, it's not really going to be a dramatic change in any way whatsoever. They've got some pretty good skill position players, too. This could be a very interesting offense. Because obviously they've got Bijan Robinson. You know, he can run either gap scheme or zone. You know, Kyle Pitts is the guy that fascinates me the most with now within the context of this offense, because he really hasn't shown, for whatever reason, you know, one could argue that, you know, with Arthur Smith there, that they don't throw the ball a lot, whatever the reason you want to pick out. But Kyle Pitts is a highly talented guy who just hasn't become what I think everybody, including myself, thought he could become at the NFL level. So he's the guy that fascinates me. We know about the receivers. They have London, big receiver. They signed Mooney, who can run. You know, there's a lot there to work with. Solid O-line. This could be a really, really solid offensive team. People can say what they want about Kirk Cousins, but he is an efficient quarterback. Every year he does the same thing. He's really good. He understands the game at a really high level. It's a really good spot for him, and they could have a really good offense.
I want to go back to Pitts for a second. You know, I did that Falcons-Bears game late in the year, Greg, and I – You know, the sense I got talking with some Atlanta people is that Pitts really hasn't been right physically over the last couple of years. He had a good rookie year.
Yeah.
Got hurt that second year, and I'm not sure he was really 100% or fully healthy last year. I am really anxious to see the combo of him presumably being fully healthy with a quarterback like Kirk Cousins and a scheme like Zach Robinson's that will get him the ball and utilize him in a way that we think he should. You know, kind of had a bunch of strikes against him, right? Like he had the injury, the quarterback play in Atlanta was not good. And, you know, the scheme, they spread the ball around to a lot of people. They were not really featuring him in a way that he could be. I think, man, he seems like a really primed breakout candidate this year.
Yeah, I agree. That's why I mentioned him, because he's really gifted. You know, we talk about tight ends a lot. We talk about how they're deployed now in the league, particularly the athletic ones like Pitts that can line up anywhere. And I think, you know, that gives an offensive coordinator, and again, it's a first-year one in Zach Robinson, but it gives him a lot of tools in the toolbox. So Pitts, to me, is the most intriguing offensive player on that team.
Okay, so Greg, I think most of us believe that he'll operate as a bridge quarterback and that the Vikings are looking to make a move to move up in the draft to select a quarterback. That seems to be the belief, the consensus at this point now that they've lost Kirk Cousins. But they did sign Sam Darnold. And yeah. I got to ask you, Greg, I've known him since he was 17. I called the U.S. Army Bowl. He was fantastic in that game, by the way, and they were really high on him. But feels like he's gotten a lot of opportunities, and it feels like there are still people that are fans of him, still believe in him. At what point do we say a guy is what he is? I mean, I feel like he's gotten a bunch of opportunities, and now, I mean, obviously the Vikings or Kevin O'Connell, they believe in him, and they're giving him another one. I mean, you've watched a lot of Sam Darnold, Greg, over the years.
Yeah, I have, and your point's a good one. There'll be a lot of people who tell you that this is Sam Darnold, that he's always going to throw a lot of picks. He's always going to have trouble seeing it exactly the right way in certain situations. But now he's with the Kevin O'Connell offense, and he, as you mentioned, he came from the Rams. This offense has been really good in Minnesota. I mean, look at what happened with Dobbs last year when he came in, and, you know, he really – O'Connell was able to present it to Dobbs in such a way that he could function pretty quickly. This is sort of the year, I think, that we can make the definitive statement about Darnold, because he's going to be their starting quarterback. And it's an offense that really does a good job in attacking and breaking down defenses with all their formations, with their shifts, with their motions, with their reduced splits. They do a really good job in defining it for the quarterback and attacking and breaking down defenses. Now, is Darnold going to have bad moments? I'm sure he will. But let's see. You know, I'm always an optimist when it comes to this kind of stuff because I'm such a big believer in coaching. And again, I'm not suggesting he's been coached poorly. You know, certainly he was the backup last year in San Francisco. He was probably coached extremely well. He just didn't get to play. So now let's see. There is some carryover, too, between the Shanahan offense and the McVay-O'Connell offense. So, you know, some of the principles and concepts he'll understand just intuitively from being with Kyle Shanahan a year ago.
All right, so Greg, there's a lot to get to as it relates to the Pittsburgh Steelers and their quarterback situation. I mean, I guess I got to ask you about three guys. The first guy is the guy they traded to Philadelphia in Kenny Pickett. I guess obviously they felt like Russell Wilson was an upgrade. I know there are some reports about, you know, things happening behind the scenes and conversations and how people handled things. But now that he's the backup in Philadelphia and he's no longer the starting quarterback in Pittsburgh, after only 2 years as a first-round pick, Greg, it doesn't happen very often, especially for a guy that I didn't think played that poorly. Where are you at right now with Kenny Pickett?
Well, for whatever reason, Ross, and we're not in the building, but for whatever reason, Kenny Pickett was an uncomfortable player in Pittsburgh. He had some moments, but he looked nothing like he did his senior year at Pitt. And again, he was my number one quarterback coming out in that draft. I did not think they reached for him at the 20th pick. Some do, and that's okay. You know, people, we can disagree. But he just, the traits he showed in college did not show up with any level of consistency in the NFL with Pittsburgh. He just looked uncomfortable. Again, we do not know why. So they obviously decided that it was not going to work and that they, in their mind, that they needed an upgrade. Now, we know in Philadelphia, Pickett will be the backup. We'll see if, you know, Jalen Hurts plays all 17 games. Obviously, that's what the Eagles would want. But we'll see. But he just, you know, he was, his ball location was really problematic, and that was not the case at all in college. And very often that speaks to just not being confident delivering the football.
Wow, that's interesting. Yeah, because, you know, you wouldn't think that that would be the issue, right? Like, if it was so good at Pitt, I mean, it wasn't the stadium.
No, and you know, look, you know me with coaches. I don't like to rip coaches. I don't do that. But I would say that their offense under Matt Canada was not, and I hate to use this cliched term, but it'll work for now. It was not a quarterback-friendly offense. It didn't give the quarterback, you know, defined, relatively easy throws by NFL standards.
Got it. Well, they got Arthur Smith there now. And they got Russell Wilson and Justin Fields. They're saying Russell Wilson is the starter. You know, I didn't think he played that bad in Denver last year, Greg. I mean, what did you see from Russell Wilson last year in Denver, and what do you think with him and Arthur Smith?
I got a couple of things, and I have a question for you, believe it or not, after I mentioned Wilson. I think the reason Wilson was not a Sean Payton guy is because at his core, Russell Wilson is not a timing and rhythm player. And it's going to be very interesting now how they fit that in to what they want to do in Pittsburgh, because you know they want to start with the run game. That's the way Mike Tomlin wants to play for sure, and that's been Arthur Smith's background as an OC in this league and a head coach, is he wants to run the football. And so they're going to start with Najee Harris and Jaylen Warren. That's going to be the foundation. They're going to work the play-action pass game, which theoretically defines throws for the quarterback and allows him to play with a more rhythmic feel. That's what they hope with Russell Wilson. He can still throw the ball. He's just not, at his core, a timing and rhythm player. So you want to try to get him to play that way as best as you can. So my question for you is this. Do you think, based on everything we've read, that no one in the NFL saw Justin Fields as a starting quarterback?
I think that there are concerns about Fields. I think it's fascinating.
I think there are
concerns about Fields. I was thinking about this the other day, Greg. You know, we talk about traits, right? Tell me if I'm wrong on any of these things. Fields is bigger than Caleb Williams. Fields is faster than Caleb Williams. And I would argue Fields has a stronger arm than Caleb Williams. We all saw the pro day yesterday where Caleb Williams threw a bomb. But Fields has an absolute hose at times. So I think it's funny when people say, oh, they, you know, that's a traits-based team. They draft guys based on traits. I don't know, bigger, faster, stronger, bigger arm. I mean, that's a lot of traits right there. I think what it says to me, Greg, is that those traits are not the most important when we're talking about that position.
And there's no question, Ross, that he does struggle to see things with the speed and clarity that you ideally want. But, and again, that shows up on tape. That's not an opinion. That's not an interpretation. That clearly shows up on tape. And again, you know, I'm not the guy trading for him, and I'm not the guy having to do this, but it just struck me as odd that after 3 years in the league, seemingly so, people have decided that this guy cannot play. And, you know, maybe he can't. You know, again, I don't know the answer. This, people a lot smarter than you and I about quarterbacks are making these decisions, and this is the decision that seemingly has been made in the league as of right now. But your point is really good. I mean, this guy is a high-level traits guy who's only played 3 years in the league, right? 3 years, is that correct?
Yep.
And they've decided with all these traits and with a situation in Chicago that was probably not viewed as ideal for the development of a quarterback, that this guy just can't play at all as a starting quarterback. Like you said, it's really fascinating.
Yeah, so the way I look at it, I guess, is Atlanta, you know, the spots where he could have gone, right? He's probably not going to go to the top three teams at the top three picks because they like the rookies. I get that. And then Atlanta, they could get Kirk Cousins. Okay. I think what's interesting is that a team like Minnesota or some of these other teams, or even the Raiders, right? I mean, the fact that Luke Getsy, the Bears OC, is now the Raiders OC.
Yeah.
And that they would rather bring in Gardner Minshew than Justin Fields, that is telling to me, Greg. Now, and it's interesting because I did that Bears-Falcons game, right?
Yeah.
And we talked about it earlier, and Getsy raved about Justin Fields' work ethic and said nobody works harder than him, which I think is an interesting point to make at times in life, Greg. You know, we all want to believe that if you simply work hard enough, you can achieve what you want, right? The reality is that's just not true. You know what I mean? Like, you can maximize your ability, but I would say because of my arm length and because of my athletic limitations, no matter how hard I worked, I would never have been a Pro Bowl caliber offensive tackle in the NFL. It doesn't matter how hard I work.
You weren't going to be Quentin Nelson Ross no matter what.
What's it? Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I think like that needs to be said sometimes, because Getsy raved about Fields' work ethic. He's by all accounts a great young man. He's got all these traits, but I think there's a belief, Greg, that the things that he struggles with, it doesn't really matter how hard you work or how hard you try. It's just not something that comes naturally for him.
Right. And so clearly there's a belief right now that that can't be fixed. That as we speak today. So that's where we stand. And that's what the league thinks.
By the way, just as an aside, I think there's a decent chance he plays a lot in Pittsburgh and runs the ball a lot. Because Tomlin's not afraid to have a quarterback run the rock a bunch and add that element to it. So I can see that. A couple ones I want to ask you about, Greg. The Eagles went out of character a little bit. They're spending pretty big money at running back for Saquon Barkley. What was your reaction? I don't know that I've talked to you about this. It was obviously a while ago now, but last week we talked about the receivers. Your thoughts on the Eagles paying big money for Saquon?
Yeah, very interesting. And it makes me think, and we don't know any of this now, you know, in March, but it leads me to believe is there going to be a little bit of a change in their offensive approach with the new coordinator and Kellen Moore. In other words, is the offense not necessarily going to run through Jalen Hurts? You know, when you do a deep dive on Jalen Hurts' tape from a year ago, which I've done, then you see that there were some concerns that did crop up. And again, it's not to say he's not a good NFL quarterback, but, you know, it's a coach's job to study everything in great detail and really see what a player is and what he isn't, what he does well, what he doesn't do well. And I think when you do that with Hurts, there are some things that showed up that maybe with a new coordinator, because, you know, when a new coach comes in, they look at every single play. That's what they do. And they look at them more than once. And they may have decided that, you know what, we need the run game. And by the way, Hurts is a factor in the run game. That's a critical point here to be made. Hurts is a factor in the run game. They may feel that the run game needs to be a bigger piece of their offense and that they want to back that theoretically and maybe even practically during the season can carry the ball 18, 20 times every week and can be much more a foundational piece of what they're going to do on offense.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, it probably doesn't make sense for them to spend that much money unless they're thinking that, right?
You're not signing Barkley, Ross, to give him the ball given week seven times. You're not doing that.
No, that's really, and I don't think that they felt like the last couple of years they had a three down guy.
No, you know? And I think Sanders had the really good year before he left, and obviously did not have a good year with Carolina, got hurt. But the year prior, Sanders did carry about 250-plus times. I don't know the exact number, but there were games that he carried clearly over 20 times. And that offense was better that year. You know, everybody focused on Hurts, deservedly so. In 2022, Hurts had a phenomenal season. But lost in the Hurts season was the fact that Sanders had over 250 carries and was a big-time piece of that offense.
Greg, a couple of receivers I got to ask you about. I'm dying. Alabama guys. Calvin Ridley got huge money from the Tennessee Titans, okay? And I don't talk to you about money. The money is the money. But they're saying he's a number one receiver. They're saying he's a top 10 receiver. Do you see that from him?
At times, yes. At times. The one thing he can do, which they have not had for a long time, they have a receiver that can regulate the defense because he has vertical ability. And when regulate the defense means that you can help dictate coverage. So now you increase the value of DeAndre Hopkins, who's getting older and certainly doesn't have the same juice he had 5 or 6 years ago, but still catches everything. They're very hopeful that Treylon Burks in his third year can develop into something. You know, he's been hurt a lot and hasn't been on the field, and their pass game, because of their O-line was so poor, was not very good. They need to address, obviously, their O-line. But Ridley is a great route runner. He can work the intermediate and vertical levels of the field well. And, you know, he's, again, as you said, the money's the money, but he's a really good receiver when he's at his best.
Lastly, what about Jerry Jeudy?
Yeah.
He got big money from Cleveland this week.
I know, I saw that. I've always loved Jerry Jeudy, and people could say up to this point I've been wrong. Every time I watch the Denver tape, the guy runs great routes and gets open. Now, I don't think he's a vertical dimension. I don't think he's an explosive player. I think he's one of those really, can be a really, really solid kind of 1A, number 2 type. Needs to stay on the field. But, you know, he has not been in a great situation in Denver there and got hurt a lot again. You know, he's a little thin-framed. So he's got to stay on the field. We'll see. First of all, we don't really know about the quarterback situation in Cleveland. I mean, it's going to be Deshaun Watson, but the guy essentially hasn't played for 3 years, Ross. So we have no idea.
Check him out on social media. He's the man. I have never taken so many notes in my life while I'm talking with another human being. I feel like I'm in college. Greg, I love you and hate you at the same time. Check him out on social media. At Greg Cosell. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Ross.
He is so good. DiGiorno is so good. March Madness is so good. Look, you're a game time mastermind. You know that grabbing DiGiorno Classic Crust Pizza can bring home a dub because it's packed with half a pound of cheese, sauce, other toppings, comes at an incredible price. Make the game-winning call for March Madness and grab a DiGiorno Classic Crust Pizza from the grocery store today. It's not delivery, it's DiGiorno. Wash it down with my favorite light beer ever. It's called Labatt Blue Light. It's from Buffalo. I love those people up there. I love their beer. Live life to the power of we as you're watching basketball this weekend. Always enjoy responsibly. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
Tux Takes.
All right, Ross, there was an arrest warrant issued for Lions cornerback Cam Sutton for aggravated battery and domestic violence, and then their defensive end, Romeo Okwara. He retired after 8 seasons in the league.
Yeah, it's interesting when guys retire a few weeks into free agency. It always makes you wonder what exactly is going on there. But I think he just, you know, 8 years is a long time, and other things he wants to do with his life. The Cam Sutton situation's not good. It came out yesterday, and it sounds like this warrant's been out for his arrest for 2 weeks, and they haven't found him or got him. That doesn't sound real good.
We got a couple of signings and contract moves across the league. New Saints defensive end Chase Young actually just got $5 million guaranteed. The other $8 million is tied into per-game roster bonuses. And running back Deonta Foreman, he signs with the Cleveland Browns.
Right, so Mickey Loomis, the Saints, Jeff Ireland, that makes some more sense, right? Like, you don't give a guy $13 million fully guaranteed the day before neck surgery. So $5 million fully guaranteed. And then the other $8 million, he's got to play in the games. That makes a little bit more sense to me. And I don't know. I thought Deonta Foreman did good things for the Brown for the Bears last year. I'm excited to see him in Cleveland. They need to have a good backup there.
And hip drop and kickoff proposals from the competition committee will be discussed at the owners' meetings next week.
You know, I might talk about this more on Monday's show. I don't know. I guess I never like to talk about it too much until it's actually happening. But these are interesting. The NFLPA has already came out and they are opposed to this hip drop tackle ban. It's hard to define. I think it's like, what do they say? It's like porno. You kind of know what it is when you see it. That's what they do with the hip drop. The kickoff proposal's very, very unique. They're trying to keep it in the game. But the biggest issue there is it takes away the surprise onside. There's a lot to get to. I might talk about it more next week. For right now, though, I think we're done here.
Thanks for tuning in to the Ross Tucker Football Podcast. Make sure to also check out Even Money, Fantasy Feast, and College Draft, all on the DraftKings Network on Samsung TV Plus, YouTube, or subscribe to the podcast on your favorite platform.
Shout out MyFrontPageStory.com. Here's what I love. I love family, I love, and I love sending you guys signed autographs for people that want it. Let's combine all of it. Go to MyFrontPageStory.com. Could be an anniversary gift, could be a birthday gift, could be whatever. Could be Mother's Day, which will be here before you know it. MyFrontPageStory.com. Also love me some backofficescheduler.com, steakhousesports.com, humanheadnyc.com, sporticulture, and Pizza Boy Brewing.